Okay, Place to Be Nation, this is the reaction show for No Mercy 2016, a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. And I'm good old Will, and on the air I've got our buddy Chris Zellner, we've got Johnny Sorrow, and Devin Hells, the son of Papa Hells, indie internet wrestling legend.
Sensation.
Yeah. And can we change your name now to Worldwide Will? Can we officially do that?
Yeah, sure. Worldwide Will, I like it. All right.
I said that there needs to be you need to have tour T-shirts.
Yeah,
with all your dates.
Will's 2016 divorce tour. I love it. Let's do it. Anyway, all right, guys. So this weekend, I got to see some wrestling. I went to the IWA Mid-South 20th anniversary show in Clarksville, Indiana. That was fun. It only took 6 hours to finish 10 matches, but hey, whatever. And about seven Ian Rotten speeches. And
no!
Yeah. Two intermissions. Rigged raffle that the got.
No!
It was. Yeah, my buddy Dr. Death Steve Williams, a big Place to Be Nation guy, he said that the same guy wins the raffle every time, and that these hillbillies just keep giving him their money and thinking they're gonna win.
maybe he's really lucky.
Yeah, nobody's that lucky to win the raffle every single time for like 7 years in a row. But hey, whatever. Anyway, but no, it was a fun show. It was not a great show. And then on Friday night, I was in Chicago and I got to see the AAW opening round of the tournament they're running, and that might have been the best show I'd ever been to. So it had an amazing match between Kongo Kong and Chris Hero. And it also had a great main event with just a bloody, nasty, vicious spectacle between Sammy Callahan and Pentagon Jr. So when that comes out on tape, or however it comes out, I strongly suggest people watch night one of that tournament. And so one of the things, the reason I brought that up is when I was watching the AAW show, and I was there with my good buddy Charles from PWO. When we were watching it, we thought that the way that the card was set up was near perfect. No match was better than the match that came after it. So the card built. It was almost the perfect build for a card. And so this one, it was a little bit weird because you had the WWE Championship match as the second match on the show, and I think the first match, right, the American Alpha and Hype Brothers, that was the pre-show match, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so AJ Styles, John Cena, and Dean Ambrose opened the show, and I thought it was a really odd placement for this show. But before we get to that, let's start with the pre-show match. We have American Alpha and the Hype Brothers versus the Ascension and the Vaudevillains. Chris, what did you think of this, bud?
Well, they've done a variation of this match, you know, quite a few times. It's always, you know, good for what it is. It was better when the Usos was involved in the match in particular. American Alpha seems like they're just treading water right now, and something needs to happen soon. We'll talk about it later in the show, what happened in the title match, which kind of surprised me. But I don't know. Vaudevillains, you know, they were pretty much dead in the water recently. It was not even on television at all, and then they just reappeared. Ascension is meh. And Hype Brothers, you know, they can get the fans going behind them. I know Johnny's a big fan of Mojo right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they do decent in their act, but it just seems like that Alpha's the only team that has like real credibility right now, and the other three teams are just like, meh. So it just seems like they're slumming it, you know, at the moment. But the match was okay; it was fine for what it was. I mean, we've seen better, we've seen worse kickoff matches.
Yeah, what about you, Johnny?
Well, here's what they're doing, and you're watching SmackDown, and what they're doing is, they're trying to build depth in their tag team roster. So you have these teams, and yes, The Ascension were in the doghouse forever, and now they're out. The vaudevillains, half of them are still in the doghouse, but they're bringing them out, and they're starting over a bit. It's what they're doing with the brand extension thing, and you can see it on SmackDown. And as far as the match goes, yeah, it was a fun little sprint, I thought, but I think what they're doing is trying to then get beyond that whole criticism of, well, here's the tag roster, the two teams that are feuding, and that's it, and then one other team. They're trying to say, well, these are the teams, and they're going to, you know, start putting them on TV again and having them have matches and stuff. But I just want to talk about that fucking forearm of Mojo Rawley into what's his name from the Vaudevillains, Gotch. Just, I mean, if that was worked, it looked amazing. It looked like he just cleaned his clock. And every goofy thing Mojo Rawley does, the Hammer Time thing he did on SmackDown, his goofy dance, you know, I will take odds that all that shit's going to be over as fuck within 4 months, because the guy just has it to get that kind of thing over. And I
so hold on.
Upside to him.
So by February, it's gonna be on.
I'm just saying he's doing some goofy shit that you normally go, what the fuck is that? And not getting a reaction. And I have three letters for you: WORM. All that shit's gonna get over because I think he's got the personality to get that kind of shit over. Especially if he keeps hitting people in the face with that forearm. It was amazing.
Okay, Devin. I actually got a chance to see your dad over the weekend at AEW. Papa Hells was in the house at in Chicago. I was sad that you and your brothers weren't there, but it's okay. Your dad has to work that gimmick, man. So
that's right.
You know. Now,
I mean, he's amazing. Papa Hells, real quick. I mean, for those of you that don't follow him on Twitter, you have to search him out, because he is becoming the workers' worker. Even the workers are searching him out. It's amazing to watch this go on. He is just a true gem. I love that man.
Yeah, so anyway, this match, Devin, talk to us.
Yeah, this match was fine. They actually, I think, do a version of this on the touring house shows. I think sometimes they throw in like Swagger and Corbin and other guys like that on the undercard and put them in the opening match on touring shows in the house show circuit. So I mean, these guys have probably worked with each other a bunch of times. I mean, it seems like, you know, a pretty standard match with these guys. I think I like the SummerSlam match better, the pre-show SummerSlam match they had a few months ago. But I mean, we can wait to get to the tag title match, because I thought it was interesting, the winners of that match, because Alpha was the right team to get the win, but it's interesting to see where and what they're going to do with these teams.
Devin, I think we all know exactly what the three of us are talking about here with this, is that we fully expected the Usos to win because they're having a hot feud with Alpha on TV. Okay.
Right.
It's a super hot feud. You know, and
yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's just weird to me. I think as far as positioning and what to do with these teams, I think I feel weird saying this with this is an issue, because normally I wouldn't say that, because, you know, SmackDown's been pretty good lately, but maybe 2 hours is just kind of hard to fit in all these tag teams onto a 2-hour show.
No, I disagree. I strongly disagree with that. I think you can fit them in. Mm. You don't need to feature every team every week.
Exactly.
I think
that's
the thing. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. That's where you use what Superstars and Main Event, whichever. Which is the one SmackDown has, Devin?
Main Event.
That's where you use Main Event. You know,
yeah, they've all been in fact, they've all had a bunch of fun matches on Main Event. It's just they just don't get on SmackDown much. But well, I'm thinking more of like Hype Bros and Ascension and stuff. But I mean, I'm not the biggest Ascension fan, so
right.
if they don't show up on SmackDown much, I don't really care. So
okay, well, I think we've already spent way too much time on this match, so you know, let's move
longer
on.
Longer than the match, probably.
Well, this match that we're about to talk about, what do you call it?
the main event?
It was the main event, yeah. Mm. It opens the show. Johnny, I don't know, man. I don't mind having a great opening match to mm-hmm. open the show, but why style Cena Ambrose? Why not Miz Ziggler?
Because something? Of the debate. It was about the debate.
That's it? That's the only reason?
That's completely
that's
the reason.
Reason.
Yeah, completely
I had
the
no
reason.
Idea they did that. I'm so out of the loop. So
that's completely.
To me, it was just
odd. Here's the thing. It's baffling. It's amazing to think there's pay per views have gone against major sporting events and they haven't changed the order of a main event.
Yeah, like the NFC or AFC championship.
Yes, exactly.
Game.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
But
the Rumble. Yeah.
But this. Is how big this is and how many people are going to wait to tune in to see this fucking spectacle. So they wanted to get their main event out there so the social media also could be out there about what happened.
Yeah.
Because of...
Yep, you nailed it.
That's it. That's why this show was memento. It was backwards. Completely.
Yeah.
You know?
Social media coverage of the match was the main thing, I think.
Exactly. That's what it was. That's totally what it was. Because... And we'll get to it. I tuned away myself towards the end of this show. I found myself wanting to see the bigger spectacle. They were right. That's why they did it. It's the only reason why they did it.
So about the match itself, what did you think?
I liked it. It was as good as I thought it was going to be. I don't hate triple threats. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I thought there were a lot of cool spots in it. I like Cena going back to. Cena seemed a little like doing the old tired old man thing. And he's going back to power spots, like I'm gonna lift both guys over my shoulder. But it didn't work out for you this time. And that little bit of subtlety to what they're doing with his character at this point, I like. But it was okay. It wasn't great. I thought it was entertaining. But I just want to mention the funniest thing is my nephew who loves John Cena. At the end, AJ wins, and he looks at me and goes, "That guy again?"
Oh.
He's like,
that kid needs to be brainwashed.
No, he loves John Cena. To him, he's the bad guy won again, which is perfect because for the little kid. But for me, I'm like, I'm wanting to go, yeah, AJ won. And I'm like, well, no, better not try to make him a heel fan just yet. Yeah. I thought it was fun, but it wasn't
an asshole teenager.
Yeah, it didn't tear down the house. Let me put it that way.
All right, Devin.
It was. I thought it was really good. I think a key thing with triple threat matches is that my biggest pet peeve with them is that guys lay around too much. People will lay around, and then you have somebody, trading moves. Guy will lay around for. What seems to be just getting thrown out of the ring, he'll be out of there for 3 or 4 minutes. It just didn't really happen this time. There were a few moments where one of the pairings may have traded a move or two, but it was fast paced. There were some good near falls. I'm always a mark for the spot where the guy grabs the hand before someone taps out on that spot and. And there's some big bumps from AJ. I like Cena bringing back out the sit-out power bomb, stuff like that. The one thing that really bothered me about this match was I thought there are some people that were like saying that, oh man, I can't believe they had AJ tap out to the two guys putting a submission on him. That's not what I was, rolling my eyes at. I was rolling my eyes at that because it felt completely unnecessary to do that spot in the match.
They did not have
to do that they did plenty of other false finishes. It was meant to be a false finish is what it was, but they had plenty other false finishes they could have done, and that just I didn't like it. I think it confused the crowd a little bit live. I thought it was just a completely unnecessary spot, and I think it took the wind out of the match a little bit. Even though I thought the last few moves and finishing stretch was well done, and I liked AJ kind of stealing the win with the chair, but it was a really unnecessary spot, in my opinion.
Okay. And Chris?
I totally agree with Devin. I mean, that whole finish confused everybody. The way that Mike Chioda was signaling was like it was Cena and Ambrose now. Like AJ was eliminated. And it's like, I think even the announcers were confused. It was just totally unnecessary bullshit. I mean, I was thinking it was a draw. I mean, the story eventually was, you know, that the timekeeper rang it and without, you know, the referee calling for the finish, which is what happened, but nobody explained it. That's mass confusion. Now, especially when the finish happened where AJ Styles just used the chair. You know, it's like a very, you know, this match where they're hitting all these big moves, and then AJ just wins hit with a chair shot to the back. It kind of just, I don't know, it was a flat finish to me. The match was a spot fest. It was a total spot fest. It was a fun spot fest, but it was a spot fest. It wasn't.
But I think that's how triple threat should be, honestly, because I think if you don't have them, that's why I don't think triple threat matches should go too long, because you get stuck in a position where a guy lays around too much or something like that. I don't know. But
I'm with you on that. I mean, I agree that that works probably the best. But I mean, I don't know. This one just seemed like a greatest hits. It's just, you know, it's greatest hits type stuff. You know, where Cena was going back to his stuff he did with Owens. You know, Ambrose was, you know, using. I mean, they were all using their usual shit. AJ was not working both of them. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, AJ was just on top of his game. He's been so great these past few months. I mean, he is the wrestler of the year. I don't think there's anybody close to him right now.
See, I always like to think, as far as that finish goes, AJ taps because he's such a great heel and psychologist. He knows that he can't lose the title that way.
Well, here's the... I've seen other people say the same type of thing, Johnny, but tell that story.
I agree.
That story wasn't told.
I don't think the announcers didn't say anything. And Kyoto was doing, I was listening to it. He was trying to tell him, he was like, nope, that's just the way it is. But they totally didn't say anything about the timekeeper. You know, I don't know where did that come from.
And the thing is, you know, I don't even think creative even had that in mind, Johnny, about what you know, the AJ thing. They just thought that was a way to do a cute finish.
I just thought it was an unnecessary.
For me, the match itself it was really fun. Probably the second best match on the show. So I mean, it was what it was. But I was scared with the placement of this match that it was going to take the crowd completely out of the rest of the show, and it did for a while. But you know, like they came back later and left again, but they came back later, and. We got to give those guys credit when we get to them. But
hell yeah.
I was interested. I was kind of thinking the booking here. I was kind of thinking that maybe Cena was going to win by going over Ambrose and not AJ proper, because they've been building up the Cena Ambrose side project here with AJ, you know, as well. But it's really Cena and Ambrose has been having, you know, some hot shit going on. So I was thinking maybe Cena pins Ambrose and wins the title. But I guess they're going to save that 16th. Or a bigger show.
And even if they were possibly considering it for this, as soon as it became clear, like, oh, what are we're up against what? Let's change this.
Yeah, the first match, yeah, no way Cena was going to win the first match of the show. Because it definitely would have been done then.
William?
Oh, okay, you know, I'm here. I was letting y'all talk. Y'all started getting into your conversation, so I'll let y'all roll with it. And then it was just silence. And I was like,
all right, here's the question, though, Devin, and Johnny and Will, you know, where do we go now? Who is the world champion? I mean, who's the contender? Do they go Styles and Ambrose singles again? I mean, what, Cena's been pinned again?
I don't know where they go. My prediction
I thought they were going for Orton until the main event. But,
that's
you know.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And see, my prediction is Cena faces Ambrose at TLC in December and beats him, finally, to get over that hump, and then moves on to the Rumble.
I think they're going to continue. I think they're going to continue. I think they're going to continue, at least for a little bit on television, this dynamic. You know, the three of them just for a little while longer.
And Survivor Series is going to be interesting to see how they book that show. I mean, considering, are they going to bring back Survivor Series matches, or are they going to have title matches with the main champions? That's the one thing about SmackDown is that Raw has a more top-heavy, you know, part of the roster. You look at SmackDown, even as you have this tier of guys with Styles, Cena, Ambrose, they're on that tier. Then you got Miz and Dolph, who has now made the tier right below. Then and Wyatt and Orton are hanging around. But then you go below that group, there's nobody credible. Nobody.
They have a really thin mid card. That was the biggest issue with the draft, in my opinion, was that they didn't really have a strong mid card.
Well, I think that's why they're bringing in all these guys and giving them things to do. Because lather, rinse, repeat. They're now there. You know, with Swagger and Corbin and Hawkins. You're going
to including building the lower card tonight guys. Too. So.
We need to talk about it as the show goes on, probably. So
right.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next match, Devin, and that's Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Originally, Becky Lynch was supposed to be involved, but
not this one.
Oh, is that the other one, the Alexa Bliss versus?
They actually have two women's feuds. There's the
holy shit.
No. There's the title feud. And a blood feud. That's what this is. This is the blood
feud.
A feud about anger and not about titles. That's what I call a blood feud.
But there was no blood, right?
No, not actual blood. But let me put it this way.
I'm not doing it. If you want to see a blood feud, watch Sammy Callahan versus
Peter. I get it. No, let me just...
I don't want to hear it.
Let me rephrase it. A hate feud? Is that better? There's a hate feud and a title feud that are both ladies on the same show. They're getting two segments. That's the reality. I wasn't the one making the sick joke for once.
All right, Devin.
it was okay. I thought Carmella was going to be worse than she was. I wasn't that impressive with her, but she improved. I think she was, nasty enough on offense. She was a bit repetitive at times. Nikki looked okay. I mean, it was a perfectly fine average match. I don't really have much to say about it. I mean, okay. Daniel Bryan sort of joked on Talking Smack that he would make this match an ODQ, but then I think he was just saying it shooting from the hip about it, and he never did. So I think it would have worked better if they would had done a little bit more brawling. But it was fine.
That's the rematch.
I don't want any more rematches. Who's next?
Next, Chris, is you.
All right. If I'd known that, I would have kept on going. Carmella has beat Nikki almost every single time they were in the ring together. Was this the absolute first time that Nikki's gotten the fall on Carmella?
Yes, but it was either tag matches or a lot of it was just attacks. It was mainly attacks.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
and a couple
Nikki
attack
dropped
matches.
Carmella an ungodly amount of times for her. And, you know, it was the right finish, of course, tonight for Nikki to get the win. And Carmella's a worker. I don't have any issues with her. It's just that she is so dead as a gimmick. You know, like I posted the picture on Twitter. I mean, the arena in Sacramento turned into a glacier. I mean, she is so cold as an act. I mean, she gets no heat. They got to do something with her. I mean, because she does have talent. I mean, she can do some things. But that gimmick is just terrible. So they got, they really need to get her off of that for sure.
So what would you do, Chris? Just, you know, I'm not asking you to fantasy book like Johnny always accuses me of, but what would you do?
I just get her out of that gimmick and just make her a personality. I mean, don't act like, you know, Iggy Azalea, you know, or like that. I mean, just be.
It worked better when she was with Enzo and Kat.
Zeller, who are you, Moro? Who are you, Moro now with all the drugs?
Sorry, I'm hip. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, with Enzo and Cass no more. So, yeah, I mean, she needs to ditch that gimmick and go to some type of harder edge type deal. Although, I will say this. Speaking of gimmicks, Nikki going to the jorts. That's interesting. Joe, she was in her Bunkhouse Stampede attire for the match. But it's fun because, you know, now she matches John. You know, he's got his jorts. She's got her cut off jorts now. So they are perfectly matched.
Yeah, well, I was thinking Daisy Dukes myself.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Dating myself.
I mean, they are, but I'm guessing this is the end of Nikki and Carmella, I would hope. I hope Nikki moves on now. We'll see.
Hell in a cell, baby.
Who knows?
I don't even care, man. I'm going to start wearing jorts again.
I want you to wear the ones that she's wearing. Yeah, that's...
Oh yeah, I want to wear those so I can dance around like Freddie Mercury. Anyway, all right, Johnny.
I don't think they need to change her character because number one, when they brought her in as a babyface, Carmella, I was like, it's such a terrible babyface gimmick that's not a babyface character, that person. And so I'm like, okay, she's a heel now, and it's cool. What you want to do is less. She's still obnoxious and from Staten Island, but maybe a little bit more black leather, you know, gangy instead of, you know, the what she's doing now. But she's still got to be obnoxious for fucking Staten Island. That's her gimmick. You know, to change her into something else would be dumb. The match itself, I was like, yeah, it was okay. But I actually loved the build-up. I was just like, I haven't seen this in WWF in a long time where the heel is constantly getting it over on the babyface until finally the match where the babyface wins. There was no even Steven booking in this build-up to this at all. It was just weeks of Carmella kicking her ass, which I thought was, that's different. But the match itself was okay.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I feel like the women's division, or divisions now, right, because there's two of them, I just think like it needs a swift kick. You know, it was doing so great for so long.
No, the SmackDown one has actually been really great. Tonight was just
an anomaly. Yeah, well, I don't watch the TV, man. You know that.
Well, I know. Well, I'm telling you, the SmackDown one has actually been really good. Tonight was just an anomaly with what happened.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. So let's move on.
It's me saying the women are good. Come on.
Okay. All right, Chris. For the SmackDown Tag Team titles, Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. Last time we talked for the SmackDown pay-per-view last month, you know, we were just heaping praise on Slater and Rhino and how Slater has revitalized his and Rhino's career in the process. What'd you think of this tag match?
And it's funny, you know, that after that pay-per-view, you know, Slater and Rhino, they had done the vignettes, they had been, you know, they were a hot act, and then they win the titles, and Slater, you know, gets his contract, and then they pretty much become cannon fodder to the Usos American Alpha feud, and it's like they just totally phased them down. I mean, they were all around, but you would have thought that after they won the titles, we would have got all these great vignettes of Slater celebrating with his kids, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, he did stuff on Twitter where he took a picture of his swimming pool and all this other stuff. But this stuff should have been on television. And they just immediately put him down, and it made me think, well, these guys are dead in the water. They're going to lose the belts, you know, in the next pay-per-view. And I've been tweeting after 2 weeks that this is a done deal. The Usos are getting this big push. You know, they're redoing their gimmick. They've done this special interview with Michael Cole this week, explaining it. I mean, they did the pre-show the night with Tom Phillips. I mean, it seemed like it was in the bag. It was a deafening. And then the match happens, and Rhino and Slater retain their titles. In a pretty good match. I mean, Rhino and Slater are really fun as a babyface tag team. Heath Slater is really strong as a face in peril. Rhino is really strong at coming in doing the hot tag stuff. Usos have been way better since they've turned. They have fully embraced their characters. Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a very fun, fine match. The finish, I just blew me away. I was not expecting that. Especially, you know, since, like I said, Usos and Alpha has the feud that's been built up. And Alpha won their part tonight. Usos lost their part, which made me think, all right, are they going to say the title change for television? Which, you know, is kind of the backwards way to do it. You know, you should be doing your title changes on your big shows, not your television shows. So I don't know what was going to happen down the road, but hey, I'm glad that Slater and Rhino have still had the belts. Although I'm hoping they don't do a deal where it's going to be Alpha against Slater and Rhino, because I wouldn't like that. We need to have babyface and heels straight up like that. So, yeah, like I said, good match, just a very interesting finish.
Johnny?
Again, I think we were all thinking that what was going to happen was Slater and Rhino were going to lose to the Usos tonight, who are super hot. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of a more resurrecting heel turn in recent memory. Just like, these guys have just been waiting to be bad guys. They're amazing at it. And they've got this hot feud that's being built on TV against Alpha. I mean, it's super smoking. So, okay, the anomaly happened. They got behind this heat thing that the crowd pushed. But it's, you know, we're going to put the tag team titles over here. Rhino's going to go do this. Then I thought Heath was going to be the guy who eventually beats Miz, but that was my fantasy booking. And no, they didn't go there. And I'm like, you know, I like the fact that what I thought was predictable wasn't predictable, because I want to see where it goes from here, because I like everyone involved. And I like the evolution of Heath as not just a complete goofball, you know, who he's maybe a little cowardly sometimes. That's gone. You know, they've moved beyond that in his character within this tag team, because he has confidence now. He has new tights, and they're really bedazzled because he's got money now. It's great. I'm enjoying what they're doing here. I think it's good stuff.
Good deal. Devin?
Yeah, this was really surprising. I was certain the Usos were going to win, and but it really is nice to kind of be surprised, though, I think, because I am also a big fan of the Rhino Heath Slater team. I don't think I've seen a bad. Well, they've had like kind of 2-minute matches with like the Ascension, but they've had good matches on Main Event. With the Ascension, actually, like a good 10-minute match with the Ascension last week, believe it or not. You know, I think they have good chemistry as a tag team. I really do like, as Johnny said, how Heath Slater is able to hold his own in the ring. You know, yeah, Rhino did help. You know, Rhino, you know, was a big factor in retaining the belts tonight. But Heath is able to hold himself in the ring. He's a really good hot tag. Like he's good at working the apron. You can watch him. He'll get the crowd into the match. He's got really good mannerisms. He's got exciting enough offense. I've really been impressed with Heath Slater as an in-ring worker.
Well, to your point, real quick, run. Devin, and I think what's amazing is, and you saw this with the Rock and Roll Express sometimes, both Rhino and Heath are great as the hot tag in this combination, because they switch back and forth on it, and that's kind of hard to do. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah, and they both had hot tags in this match, because they kind of did, you know, a little bit of a double face in peril in this match, because, you know, Rhino kind of had his little hot tag early on, and then he was worked over, and then Heath came in. towards the finish. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought the spot during the Tequila Sunrise where Rhino tackled the Uso off of that looked nasty. I was a little bit worried about Heath's leg and arm.
Yeah,
on
I
that.
Thought it would snap back. And I thought that was the finish. I mean, I thought that was the finish for and then
yeah,
Rhino.
Yeah,
that's what caught me off guard.
Yep. But I'm excited to see where this goes, though.
The thing is, you know, and Devin, you mentioned surprise, you know, sometimes being good. You know, I have no problem with surprises, but do we want surprises to break up logic? And, you know, the Usos, the way they've been pushed on television lately, I mean, does a loss hurt them, you know, right now? I mean, they just lost clean, basically.
Listen, right. Mr. Spock.
Well, I mean, I don't think it hurts him that much. You know, I think because they lost to the tag team champions, I don't think it hurts him that bad. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a loss that really hurts him that much. They lost clean, but I think that they lost to a team, you know, they lost to the tag champs, and they weren't squashed or anything like that, so I don't think it's bad, per se, for the Usos. I think if you want to go the predictable route, or the quote-unquote predictable route, I would guess they might be trying to do a three-way tag team match in Survivor Series to just get more people on the show. Because it's a supercard with both brands, so it could be all three teams.
Interesting.
For the
mega tag match where your SmackDown tags against your Raw tags.
Yeah, I still say the end game at some point is going to be Usos versus Alphas, and the titles will be involved. That's happening.
Absolutely.
You know, that is happening at some point or another.
Yeah, it's happening. I question jobs along the way. And this will come up later in the show as well with another match. I just question doing jobs, you know, like that.
Who are the tag team champions, it's a hot act, and they're wanting to go forth. You know, they need wins, too. So...
And they're going to keep the belts on, they absolutely need wins, but they need to be on television more, too. The main television show.
We also have to remember there are 6 weeks till Survivor Series now, so there could easily be a title switch between now and then.
And that's another problem, though. Like I said, you know, I don't like using big shows to set up title changes on television. That's just backwards.
Okay. Hold on. Let's continue this, guys.
That's all on television.
But yeah,
Johnny. More people watch the. You know.
Let's move forward, guys.
Set it up.
I feel like Anderson Cooper tonight talking over Donald Trump.
Oh, really? Do you?
All right. Your time limit is up, sir. Your time limit is up.
No, I'm picturing you with that gorgeous hair.
Yeah, I don't know. It's rapidly thinning. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, let's move on. All right, Johnny. Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
We talked about Baron Corbin last time, and Swagger, I don't think, was on the show.
No,
so,
he was nowhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. This match.
The build that they're doing to this, I'm enjoying, because the idea they bring in Jack Swagger, like, huh? And his first thing is like, okay, this is my redemption story, but I'm at the bottom level. The first thing you do when you go into jail is find the toughest guy and punch him in the face. That's the basis of this entire feud. I'm like, I'm good about that, because apparently Baron Corbin, he thinks he's bad. I'm old and bad. Boom. That's the reason for their feud. I'm like, yeah, I like that. And their finish on TV, where Baron Corbin wasn't really tapping, like the ref tapped him out, was a great finish to lead into this. I thought they had a perfectly fun. I hate using the cliche hoss battle, but hoss battle, two big guys clubbering each other and doing some shit, and then the bad guy cheats to win. So I was like, okay, I'm good with this. This was perfectly enjoyable.
Fair enough. And what about you, Devin?
I liked it. Good solid mid-card match. They actually had a series on the C shows before the brand split back in the summer that was real fun.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
I really liked. Yeah. They had two or three matches that were real good.
Oh, great.
On like Superstars, June I think it was. But I like this match. I was pleasantly surprised with the body part work over Swagger's hand. And I'm always I always mark out for when guys sell their hurt limbs and they can't do their key moves, like when Swagger first went for the ankle lock and he sold his hand. That was awesome. But yeah, it was a good little mid-card match. I liked that Corbin was a heel and used heel tactics to win with the eye poke and into his finish. Good match.
And finally, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, these two guys have, like Devin said, has had some good matches on television on the other shows, and this was a fine match. Suffered from the fans really not giving a shit, pretty much. They really just didn't care a lot for these guys, and that's sad. But Swagger, he just comes on the SmackDown and he does the job to Corbin, and now, let's see where they go from there, but...
Well, they can still have a feud because Corbin cheated, so...
Yeah, and they still, I guess they still can, but I don't know. Corbin's a guy that just seems, like, lost in the shuffle right now in a lot of ways. But if I think Swagger... Cruz,
yeah. I think Swagger was brought in to lose to Corbin, though. I think that's actually part of, like... I think he was sort of... brought in to kind of be feud with Corbin, maybe lose the feud so they can build up Corbin for something later, and then Swagger kind of go back down to the mid card. That's at least my guess.
He'd have to go back up to the mid card.
That would make sense,
but I did notice one other thing. On TV, he was still wearing his cool silver and gold gear. Swagger was that, but it had the "Don't Tread on Me" snake. That shit was gone tonight, and they were like, "Oh, he wants to embrace his collegiate." They'll still use the "We the People" gimmick, but any connection to the Tea Party shit is out at this point. It's done.
No, there's a connection because they're trying to. There's talk they're going to do a shooters group. With him and Dolph and Shane.
Oh, okay. Because they're real wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Hey, completely off topic. The varsity cut. The IWA Mid-South show in Indiana, Dutch Mantel was there, and he did the big "We the People" thing. Mm-hmm. I just had to throw that in there.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, Corbin, it's going to be interesting to see. He's a guy that's, like I said, just wallowing around, and he gets a win on Swagger, and we'll see where they go from there.
The Shooters group, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was in the Observer.
It sounds interesting, but boy, like Varsity Club again.
Well, they've been watching, that was what was said. They've been watching Varsity Club on the network, and some of the writers, and they're like really getting off on that Varsity Club storyline. So they want to create a Varsity Club.
This is how Kurt Angle comes back, by the way.
Interesting. All right. So okay, so let's move on to the next match. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Intercontinental Championship versus Ziggler's career. I'm just going to say it, man. I was kind of bummed. I honestly wanted Ziggler to get the loss here so they could... No, seriously. So he could get rebranded, come back 6 months later or something.
That was part of their stips. Sure, part of sure. In the stips, they actually covered that. They're like, none of this bullshit of you coming back later or rebranded or going to NXT or nothing. Okay. It's done. That was a big part of this. So
yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is... So what? Lie. Fuck it. Just get this guy off TV and reboot him, man. His hair metal gimmick from 1989, I don't know, man. He had a really good match last month.
That's not his gimmick right now, but okay.
What the fuck? What are you talking about? What's his gimmick, Johnny, since you're the defender of WWE gimmicks?
His gimmick up until this point was the guy who can't win the big one. That just
No. But I'm talking about the way he's dressed, the way he carries himself. It's all lame.
No, I'm not going to argue with that. But I'm saying that the hair metal thing is not his gimmick anymore. Maybe I can't do it anymore, but I'm legit.
He's Bret Michaels, you know, when grunge was starting to take over.
There you go.
That's just put that album out when they were trying to sound harder.
He's a Bret Michaels, a rock of love, actually, is what he is.
We look like the love child of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels tonight with all that gear and the hair and super kicks and everything going on.
All that, man.
Whining. You know, thanks, yeah. Bret.
Oh, no. Whatever. I just wish he'd go away for a while. Anyway, Devin.
I thought this was an outstanding match. My personal disdain for Dolph Ziggler did come out a little bit at the finish. I was a bit bummed personally, but I think in some ways it was by the end of the match, it felt like the right finish in a lot of ways, even though I was like, man, I love The Miz. But, it was a really, really, really good match. Presumably into the feud, although we may get to it. I saw Chris say that he thought it might continue, but I really like the callbacks of the previous matches. You had Maurice spraying the cologne for the near fall. You had the tight pulling for the near fall on the roll ups. You had the amazing. I mean, really, That near fall off of the skull crushing finale after Dolph super kicked I guess it was Mikey off the ring apron and then the skull crushing finale for that big near fall. That was an amazing near fall. I actually jumped out of my seat for that. But it was a really, really, really good match where they brought all the storylines and all of the callbacks into the match from the feud. You still had The Miz doing Daniel Bryan spots, which goes back to the beginning of the feud. It was a really, really well laid out match. It was great.
Would you call this the match of the night, or would you call the three way match of the night?
This was the match of the night, I thought.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to give people an idea, Meltzer called the three-way a tremendous match. He didn't really comment on this match, so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say later on.
Of course,
Chris.
Meltzer on Miz and Ziggler. I mean, he hasn't been as hard on as Alvarez was, and Alvarez was really praising him tonight. So he turned the corner on him tonight.
Up until just a week ago, it was just. He was like, they still suck.
He was understanding this should have been the main event. This was an awesome match, blah, 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 which it was. So, I mean, that tells you how great this was that it turned Alvarez, made him, you know, do a 180. The first half of the match, you know, kind of was just there, but that second half was amazing stuff. They got the crowd who had been dead for a good 45 minutes, got them back into the show heavily. They were eating up all the near falls. Miz is just fantastic at everything he does. Maurice, awesome on the outside. You know, and like Devin said, all the callbacks. And one of my favorite things that's going on right now, you know, bringing the Spirit Squad back. You know, they brought them back again tonight to do the stuff with, you know, to finish there. Dolph had to win. I mean, the way that feud was set up, Dolph had to win this match. I mean, wrestling logic says he had to win this match, and they went through with it. And I'll give him the credit for it. You know, even though I really don't care about Dolph Ziggler, but you know, I got to give him the credit for following through. But now, the question is, like Devin was talking about, where do we go from here? Like I said, there is nobody really credible right now that's below Dolph and Miz. Orton and Wyatt, we'll talk about them. They're going to be tied together. The threesome of Cena, Styles, and Ambrose looks like they're going to be tied together. Down below, I mean, Baron Corbin. I mean, we didn't see Dolph and Baron Corbin way too much this year.
So that don't need to happen. That does not need to happen again.
Oh, this is hilarious.
And there's nobody left. So I think that they pretty much have no choice but to feud against each other again. And it's natural because Miz, wrestling logic, he has a rematch clause in his contract. Sure. He's got to get a rematch. And I think what they're going to pull here is, you know, Dolph wins this match to, you know, to get the big win, but he's going to lose. He's going to lose again. And because I think his contract really is coming up. So, you know, this is the bait and switch where you can do that deal and, you know, he gets to keep his job, whatever. And then Miz beats him and we'll see what happens with Dolph and his contract. And then Miz can move on. Miz is interesting right now because you got AJ as your world champion as a heel who is, you know, just amazing in that role. Then you got the Miz out also as a heel that's amazing in his role. Miz needs to be in that world title picture, but it's hard to do when you got the two top heels there. I don't know. He needs to move up right now. I mean, he's as hot as he's ever been. He needs to get in that top scene. But I don't know, dude, put him with Cena. I mean, yeah, it's been a while since they've been together, but they were together for so long that people are going to remember that. But I don't know. It's weird to me. It's weird to me where they're going to go from here.
Johnny, is this your match of the night?
Oh, completely.
And that was my match of the night, too, by the way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Completely, utterly. The build-up, everything was fucking perfect. I'll get into like what might happen, and I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just going to talk about what happened tonight. And the build-up to this was so fucking good. I was like, this better deliver. And it did. It delivered, even with like, oh, there's outside interference, everything. This is the kind of match, yes, you want all that shit in this sort of thing. The Miz is a villain. He is a pure heel.
It was no DQ, Johnny.
Well, no.
I mean,
they didn't announce that it was no DQ.
Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't no DQ.
No, not at all. No.
The World Title match was that's right.
Everything's because they made a point to mention that Nikki, whatever, one of the Spirit Squad didn't touch him, so no rules were broken. They danced around it all perfectly. And yes, I was like, I want to see what they do with Miz winning this, because I had my idea of like Heath Slater needs to be the guy who takes down the Miz down the road, and they didn't do that. But you're right, this was the story they were telling, and it's a great story. It's the way it's supposed to go. Whether or not you are like, well, we don't like Dolph Ziggler on this little corner of the world, blah blah blah, the people in that audience love fucking Dolph Ziggler, and they told this story amazingly well. And this was the perfect ending to it. And this was tremendous. Everyone. I mean, The Miz is so good. He's every little thing. Down to that last shot of him on the ropes, looking back, where he's not really crying, but he might be crying. Oh, God damn it. Just tremendous. The show in general, I would be like, eh. Blah, this match is a pearl in the middle of this show, man. It's head and shoulders better than anything on this show.
That's shocking, because I really liked the match from last month, but if you'd have said this 6 months ago, these two were going to feud all of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so let's move on. All right, Chris, Alexa Bliss versus Naomi. All right, so this is the title feud where the last one was the hate feud. And this is the one where Becky.
Was it?
Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch couldn't wrestle.
So, yeah, this was supposed to be something that was actually really well built up to on television. And Becky couldn't wrestle tonight, so we got this.
All right, Chris.
Which, the Becky situation is weird. because nobody has any idea what it is that's going on, other than it's a non-serious issue, but she tweeted the picture out of her in a hospital bed. So...
No, they said it was a non-wrestling related?
Let's just call it wellness policy-itis. How about that?
Well, I mean, it was convenient that they mentioned that the title match would be taking place on November the 8th. You know, I mean, yes, in Scotland, but today is October the 9th, so that's 30 days.
Right, yeah. Well,
I don't...
that's only pure speculation.
Well, I'm hoping there's nothing to that, but even when people that would know what all the stuff that's going on don't know this one, it's interesting.
I have no integrity, so I don't mind speculating. But,
yeah, I mean, like, you know, even, you know, like I said, people that should know don't know.
Hey, it might have been something to do with that blood feud you were talking about earlier.
Jesus,
I mean, we'll see. We'll see, but, you know, getting to the match, you know,
I'm sorry. But Johnny just struck a nerve there. All right, Chris.
We're going to this match. You know, Alexa and Becky had a good little thing going on television. They've had some, you know, fun stuff happening. And
Alexa made her debut beating her. So
it took the steam out of this when Becky's not there. And then, of course, I mean, I tweeted out immediately that, you know, when Alexa came out, okay, it's going to be Naomi. And, yep, of course. I mean, there was nobody left. So Naomi comes out, and the crowd's just not into it at all. You know, there was a We Want Becky chance, and, you know, Alexa was, you know, doing good on her part. Naomi was kind of off in this match, maybe because she wasn't prepared to be in it. I don't know. And then she wins. I'm like, at this finish right here, I think this one was more questionable than any of the other finishes on the show, because you prop up Alexa as the number one contender. You announce the title match, when it's going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's going to take place. And then you have the number one contender do a job clean as a sheet, you know, right here. And, I mean, now they only should be number one contender now, you would think. I mean, they're probably going to wrestle again, but it's like, I don't like having people do the job like that when they're in line for a title shot. I just don't like it.
I can figure out why they did it. And that is... Okay, last minute thing. You know, okay, it's got to be Naomi, like you said. There's nobody else. They're really behind this Naomi push, so they don't want to job her. You know, but she's put in this situation, which, again, why I think she looked a little sloppy as well, not ready for it. And so, like, we don't want to kill her gimmick yet because we're kind of really behind this now. And... we've already established the announcers going, doesn't matter what happens here, Alexa Bliss meets Becky next month. So it was just one of the, I agree, it's odd, but I know why they did it. You know, it's just one of those weird things. I don't think they had much of a choice.
Yeah, you did. Put Alexa over Naomi, and Naomi's been jobbing on television.
Yeah, but they're really behind, and this is the big show, like you said.
She's been jobbing. Of the females, she's the lowest tier of the babyfaces.
No, but they've been making a big deal about this character. So
not that big.
She
has a good interest.
No, on TV they've done this whole thing where Nikki Bella is giving her seal of approval. You know that she feels the glow and all this shit. They're behind this.
Well, you're making a big deal about it. They're not making a big deal about it.
I'm just telling you what I've watched on television. So
nobody cared. You know, and that's the thing. And Alexa, you know, has some buzz about her. She's been doing things, and then
I'm not defending it. I'm saying I'm explaining why I think they did it. I agree, it's kind of odd because it was and the match itself kind of stunk. So who cares?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Do you have anything to add, Johnny, besides what you just added?
No, that was good.
All right, Devin.
It was a bad match. I mean, I thought Alexa outworked Naomi. Maybe Naomi was not ready. I won't defend that finish. I thought it was bad.
All right.
Alexa should have won.
And the thing is, you have a babyface replacement. If you're going to do that type of match, then the heel should be, you know, working like a confused, you know, I wasn't ready for this deal. Alexa was dumb in the whole match, you know, basically to the end. So, it just did not work at all.
Okay. Well, let's get to the main event then. Or what the WWE decided was the main event for tonight because of the debate.
Oof.
Yeah. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. I guess the last pay-per-view, these guys are supposed to go at it, and, you know, they did the Randy Orton gets beat up, because really he had a concussion, but, you know, they had to act like he got attacked by Bray Wyatt. And now they finally have the match. Johnny, this match. Johnny, this match.
He's reacting like the crowd was during the match.
There you go. He's here. I don't know. He must have ate a brownie and fallen asleep. All right, we'll move to you, Devin. Go for it.
Boring would be my description of the main event. I was very bored.
You sound bored talking about it.
I mean, it just wasn't. I mean, it just didn't do anything for me, man. I mean, it was just boring.
Well, let's talk about Luke Harper then. What about Luke Harper?
Yeah, I mean, I love Luke Harper. I will give a shout out to Bray Wyatt for taking a nasty bump on the steps on the missed senton floor. But I'm a huge Luke Harper fan. I'm glad he's back. I think he's a really good worker. And I think that he'll help freshen up the SmackDown mid-card a little bit. And he's a nice added piece to that mid-card that's much needed.
Yeah. They,
and I'm excited.
You're talking about someone for Ziggler to feud with. Ziggler versus Harper. Have they done that before?
Years ago. But, I mean, it would be good. I mean, I wouldn't mind a rehash of that. They had good matches a couple of years ago, you know.
Yeah, so. It's too bad a face wasn't holding the world title. I'd love to see Harper versus AJ. I think that'd be phenomenal. But Johnny, Devin's description was boring, and since you were too busy getting the beer to answer your cue,
I was peeing. But yes,
whatever. I heard the beer pop.
Well, that too.
Oh, right. real quick, John. I'm glad you said that. I got to talk about this real quick. Will you talk about this show? Yeah, Will, you talk about the shows you went to. I went to the Wrestle America show in my town last night. And X-Pac was on the show. He was in town. And they did a deal where Iceberg was being beat down by two of the heels, Scotty Beach and CJ Awesome. And X-Pac...
CJ Awesome?
Yeah, well, that's his name. And then X-Pac ran out to make the save to set up a tag match. The problem was X-Pac was late on his cue, and he came out like maybe 2 minutes later than what he should have, so it kind of got awkward. And then he got on the mic and said, "Told Iceberg, I'm sorry, but I was back there taking a piss." And it's making me think about it, you know. He's taking a piss. He missed his cue.
Mm, yeah, John. All right, Johnny, the main event.
Me and X-Pac.
Devin, thought it was boring.
It was kind of boring. No, it was kind of boring because I was thinking, I'm like, okay, I know these guys have a good brawl in them, and is this going to be it? You know, like, and it wasn't. It was okay. It was their match. And, like, again, I was like, this would have been the opener. Like, here's the hot opener with a hot angle that we have, or think we have. But instead, it's, you know, the end of the show. Again, this is Memento. The show is completely backwards. And then when the whole Luke Harper thing happened, I thought it was done so well that when the lights came up and the look on his face and the way Randy Orton reacted to it was sufficiently awesome. I went, okay, that saved it for me. Like, it was a so-so match, not bad, not good, just it's okay. Oh, I love that finish. And so it gets the slight thumbs up just because that 15 seconds was really entertaining. The rest of it was kind of dull. I agree.
All right, Chris, did that 15 seconds at the end save it for you?
It didn't save it. I mean, it was a cool spot, but it didn't save the match. The thing about this, you know, if you watch SmackDown in recent weeks, they've been doing all these, you know, different angles. I was going to say avant-garde, but really not avant-garde. But they've been doing all this stuff with Bray and Orton, where Orton's turning his face, is upside down, and he's locking Bray into a crate, and Bray's disappearing.
But see, there's aspects of it on TV that I've thought were really, like, that's good. And then it goes full stupid. And like, ooh, yes. But that part was good. And I'm like, because the general idea is the whole idea of Bray Wyatt can't handle someone who's fucking with him. And he's having a breakdown. I'm like, oh, that's good. But I'm like, and now there's magic.
I mean, God. The idea is okay, but the segments have been fucking horrible. Yeah, no, I mean, it's killed my buzz on SmackDown because, you know, the one week, it wasn't last week, the week before last, it was almost every segment.
It was like watching Randy Orton have a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it was stupid as hell. But here's the problem.
It was awful.
You're doing all this stuff on television.
This is stuff I normally like, by the way. And I was like,
I know that's what shocked me that you didn't that you're down on this. I mean, I'm blown away.
I know because I'm up on the psychological aspect of it, but then when it would get like too stupid, I'm like, oh no,
fucking hokey shit. No. Here's the deal,
garbage.
Here's the deal, though. You do all this stuff, and you're thinking, all right, this match here is now going to be the main event. I mean, these guys are going to go out there and have a spectacle. You know,
I thought they were going to have a brawl.
A wild match. You know, they're going to do all kinds of shit. No, we're just going to have a straight wrestling match. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to work this like it's, you know, 1988. You know, we're working mid-card, working holds. I mean, it was that was terrible. I mean, it was terrible psychology for that. You know, if you're going to do all these angles like that, you need to make it like a, you know, straight up street fight brawls and shit like that. And it just didn't work out that way.
But isn't do you almost think that maybe they're like, no one's watching this, why should we give it our all?
Well, I mean, that's a problem because there were people watching it, though. You got people live in that building.
Okay, no, I get that. They're still getting they're still getting a wrestling match. But as far as like the big giant brawl where you might get hurt, you want to save that for when there's more people watching it.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there's people that are watching it, so you need to have them satisfied too. You know, you need to give your all it all the time. People are paying to
watch. That's what I'm saying. They just had a okay wrestling match. It's not they shit the bed or anything. It wasn't good, but, you know.
And Bray, you know, Bray lately has come off as kind of like their answer to Matt Hardy, in a way. And that's where, and this is more for people on Twitter now. You know, for people that, they've taken it in that way, the way he's being portrayed, and they were expecting that type of Matt Hardy spectacle match on this show and didn't get it and were confused. So you didn't get that. And then you throw Harper in there and, you know, I love Luke Harper. I'm glad he's back. But we all know what he's there for. He's going to job the Randy Orton. I mean, that's what's coming.
I thought he was going to attack Bray for a second.
I was hoping he was going to attack Bray because, and that would have made sense with the angle because Randy Orton is kind of, you know, supposed to be embracing this side. Harper turning on Bray and joining Orton would have added a whole extra, you know, thing to this feud.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of him joining Orton. Right? I would have thought that Orton be gone and then they'd have a feud.
Harper, he needs to get on his own.
That's what that's what I mean.
That's the thing, you know, I was kind of, you know, SmackDown definitely needs somebody of his stature there. But I was kind of hoping he would have been on Raw. That way he could have been away from Bray Wyatt and could have, you know, stood out on his own in his own way. So, I mean,
he's going to be Bray's underling again. He's going to be doing the jobs and tag matches because Rowan's hurt.
Yeah, but
Rowan's got shoulder surgery.
I'd imagine they're going to lead to the breakup thing with him.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, but yeah. I mean, I just hate it that Harper's going to be back doing jobs again as Bray's number two. It sucks.
Yeah, but I think that I it's going that. To, but everyone loves him so much. He's got so much hype behind him from the internet and everything, and of course it should. But I think that they're going to do the breakup thing, and he's going to come out on top of Bray at the end.
And this is honestly, I hope so.
I don't think so.
I do.
It may happen, but I don't think they're going to push it. I mean, Bray Wyatt's going to be win that feud. Harper's in his slot. Right? He's in his slot, and it is what it is. But, you know, it's obvious that Orton and Wyatt will continue on. I mean, I obviously, TLC is where it's going. I know. TLC is obviously where they're going to have the big gimmick match, but you got
maybe a TV will explode on Randy this time again.
I mean, you can't have gimmick matches be organic.
Or he'll get electrocuted.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, in four months, everything Mojo Rawley does is going to be super over, and Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper are going to be feuding, I guarantee.
All right, we'll play the tape back in 4 months.
Yeah, really.
Because I don't think Indium's going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
But I'll take that action.
So you do TLC there, so that, I mean, we're going to have 2 more months of this. And again, these matches should be organically done. They should be a gimmick pay-per-view, but what can you do? That's their decision.
All right, so Johnny, thumbs up, thumbs down, where you at on this show?
Thumbs in the middle, leaning slightly up, because I thought the show was just okay, but Miz Ziggler was one of my favorite things I've seen in recent years, so it's thumbs in the middle, up a tad, because the show itself is interesting.
I know. Last month it was enthusiastic.
It was, because last month was a really great show. I was perfectly entertained, but the only thing that blew me away was that, and everything else kind of just was like, the TV show has been better than the rest of that.
Okay. So, yeah, Devin.
Thumbs in the middle. This was not as good as Backlash. I did love Miz and Dolph. That was one of my favorite things that's happened this year in WWE. But I think the card placement match order was hurt it. I think there were some questionable finishes. So thumbs in the middle. There's some good work, but some questionable stuff there as well. So,
okay, fair enough. Chris?
Thumbs in the middle, and I echo all these guys' sentiments. The only thing that saved this from being a thumbs down was Miz and Dolph. I mean, if Miz and Dolph didn't have that match, I would give this a thumbs down show.
Okay, it totally
underwhelmed me. As far everything else in that show, underwhelmed me except for the Miz and Dolph match. And Johnny's right, television's been better. And of the three brand specific shows we've had, this is clearly the worst.
Yeah. I thought it was probably even worse than Clash of Champions.
Oh, Clash of Champions was much better than this show.
That's so great. Out of the three, this is the worst.
Ooh. But that's what we have right now. We have these brand specific
Wait till we get to 20 before we start making lists.
Jeez. Yeah, no, you can compare three shows. Wait, hold on. John, you can compare three shows. If it's the worst of three shows, it's the worst of three
yes,
shows.
Yes, technically, but when you make those lists, that's the same joke they make on Raw when they call Kevin Owens the longest reigning Universal Champion. That's the same joke, because it's only been around for a little while.
But you can't, I mean, you start getting the 20 shows, all right, this was the 11th best show. You know, I mean, it's easier to do in like a short increment.
It's easier to do longer.
Anyway.
That's why you guys created the GWE.
All right. So let's move on. Devin, let's talk about your papa real quick.
Yeah.
So,
my papa. To me, he is.
Shut up, Johnny. I'm talking to Devin. Christ. All right. So Devin, I was hanging out with your pops. He's selling T-shirts. How can we get a hold of Papa Hells if somebody wants a Papa Hells T-shirt?
You can tweet at him. I have no idea what his Twitter handle is.
Mike Hale, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Okay, Devin, you failed that segment. Chris Zellner, how do we get a hold of Papa Hell?
at Mike Hales 9. That's how you get a. That's 9. That's the number 9. And order a shirt like I got myself a shirt. I bought a shirt from Papa Hales' little deal. So go ask.
He's making a killing off those shirts, man. He was not afraid to tell me how many he sold.
Are there 3 X's? There must be.
Oh yes. Oh, they go all the way up, brother. Yeah,
he's got all sizes. But that shows you my poor shilling of my dad that how much I pay attention to what's.
you are clearly the least favorite son. I'm just going
to throw that out. He'll be the
prodigal. Think about Papa.
The prodigal son.
Matt Riddle has worn Papa Hill's shirt on Evolve programming.
There's another.
Fred Yeah's worn the shirt. Jeff Cobb's worn the shirt. So all kinds of wrestlers have worn the Papa Hill shirt, so you can join that group of people.
I met Jeff.
Yeah, that group of people that includes Green Lantern fan. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. All right, since Johnny spoke over me, no, I actually met Jeff Cobb Friday night. He's a real sweet guy, man. He's a real good guy. So make sure you check out his match versus Gulak from that AAW show. Johnny, any other podcasts coming up?
Titans,
Us, or anything?
Yeah, we got a Titans coming up that's going to be pretty groovy as soon as we can get all of our shit together. But otherwise, nah, everything's cool.
You going to be on this one?
What's that?
Because on the last show, I plugged a Titan show that Johnny wasn't on.
What? Which one?
The one that Parv and Kelly did that I thought you were on, but he's like, I wasn't on that show.
No, yeah, well, you know what? You're just doing wish fulfillment. So, yeah, it's okay.
All right, Chris Zellner, what do we got?
All right, Between the Sheets today, as this podcast drops, going back to 2001, October 5th through the 11th, with Chandler Biggins from AIW, first-time guest. Yeah, we talk about all kinds of fun shit on there. New Japan's Tokyo Dome show was that week. With Akayama and Nagata against Muto and Hase. You got WWF talking to Hall and Nash about coming back as the invasion angle starting to go away. You got all kinds of stuff going on in the U.S. indie scene. And a story on John Collins, who was an indie promoter in that era, that is as must listen as it gets on Between the Sheets, because there is awesome. So much salacious material going on. We're talking Ponzi schemes and all kinds of racketeering and stuff going on. It is amazing the level of criminal activity this guy was involved in.
You sleazy son of a bitch.
His associates. So, yeah, check that out. Exile, I don't know when the next Exile's coming out. I've been procrastinating. I was trying to do a Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame show, but that's not going to happen in time limit because that voting is in 5 days. So I don't know if I'm going to get that done. Scott Baum, I'm going to hook up with him again for another Memphis show. So we'll see what happens down the line. But, yep, Between the Sheets, every Monday. Check it out. And Patreon, patreon.com/betweentheSheets, where you can donate and listen to our special patrons-only shows that we'll have. I already got two up talking about my co-workers, which are very insane. And we'll have theme shows coming up as well.
Here's my credit card.
What was that? Repeat that?
just giggling. It's all good.
All right, cool. Well, anyway, I just want to give a quick shout-out. When I was at the show this week, I met the referee from AEW, Phil. He was super cool, super nice guy. And I also met my buddy Naylor's old podcast brother, Dr. Keith.
No, really?
So super nice guys. Out in the Chicago area, so I just want to give them a quick shout out, and you know, anyway, seriously, though, for anyone who can, go check out that AEW Night 1 of the tournament from this past Friday. Awesome, awesome show. One of the best shows I've ever been to in my life, so I can't say enough good things about it. But, guys, what's the next pay-per-view? When's that coming up?
Hell in a Cell. Yeah, and,
October 30th.
3 weeks. Yeah,
30th. Oh, okay. Yeah, I should be around for that. So
they probably.
Yeah, they actually have managed to get a Hell in a Cell right on Halloween, with a Ouija board promo thing. So.
And there's two Cell matches already confirmed: Reigns and Rusev, and Sasha and Charlotte. First time women in Cell.
Interesting.
Are the women confirmed?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay, so cool. So we'll get to see that. When it pops up, and was that 3 weeks?
Yep. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So I should be around. So, of course, we'll do another React show. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Next thing we know, we see Facebook updates of Will, you know, in Asia.
Oh, it's going to happen, man. I'm planning a trip with Jose Fernandez. You know, nice. Jose, Chris. We're gonna go to Japan.
All right, Johnny, let me check and see if this thing can be recorded.
I just good helmet live at Budokan. Must have.
Oh, it's going to. Oh, I'll be at Budokan if me and Jose go to Japan.
You need to pose in front of Budokan, brother.
Well, you know what's fucking cool? Jose knows Killer Khan, so I'll get Killer Khan. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's funny, but. He communicates with Killer Khan in Spanish because they both know fluent Spanish.
Really?
They don't do it in English, don't do it in Japanese. No, he's speaking Spanish. So.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Tell him he's the only guy in every match on all these things I used to make.
Yeah, I should on all these sets.
And he'll be like, thanks.
Hey, if I get a picture of Killer Khan, dude, in front of Budokan, that would be even better.
A Killer Khan in front of Budokan.
Johnny, you did record, right?
I can find out as soon as I hang up.
Because, yeah, that's what I figured. It didn't. It was acting weird as we started the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, it didn't record.
I'm pretty sure mine did, but I don't know until I hang up. So.
I don't know why it did that the other night that we did the one of the reaction shows. So,
the program is a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's true, Chris. That's why I don't do it, because it fucking wouldn't record on my
computer. But it's never done anything. I don't know why. I mean, none of the Exiles has done that. It's just weird that it's been a reaction show two of the last three times we recorded.
I think it might have something to do with how many people you have on. I don't know. It's completely dodgy piece of shit.
It just says recording. It pops up, recording has finished out of nowhere. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, I got that yesterday with
Pete.
That's
bizarre. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Bizarre. So anyway, guys, excellent, excellent.
It's British Bulldogs here.
No wonder. I need to download the new version. Yeah, it says the important buttons. Oh, failed to start recording after it was manually stopped. So there we go. Mm-hmm. So now I need to update.
There you go. All right, guys. Chris, good show.
Yeah, man.
And we will holler at y'all, man, from Budokan. Sure.
Okay. That's it, brother.
Later, guys.
Chris, I'll see if this works.